Today on Real Radio.
Jesus warned that hostilities toward us will increase. Now, that's not popular to say. That doesn't grow churches. That doesn't make things popular.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. In a section of chapter 12, the Messiah explains that he has actually come to divide. Our study is taken from verses 49 through 53 of Luke chapter 12. It's called, It's More Than a Family Feud. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's more than a family feud, and that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. You would think that when the gospel's preached, that it just makes everything better the way we want better to be. Somebody might say, come on, honey, let's go to church. Though that's a great thing, sometimes we're quite shocked by the result of what happens when the gospel's presented. And I have to tell you that this morning, the sense of inadequacy in my own life to try to bring this message across in a way that you're going to want to listen to it. I thought about standing on my head and delivering the message. I thought about dressing up in a clown suit or something, I don't know, to get you to stay tuned. I don't know what to do but to rely upon God completely, and I guess that's the best thing, isn't it? Because what Jesus talks to us about today, it is absolutely not popular, listen, but yet it's something that every one of us have experienced in our lives. So number one, we can't deny it. We have tried to refuse it or reject it, but we can't deny it. We've certainly had in our lives rejection, opposition to us being Christians levied against us, haven't we? And so this morning what Jesus teaches us is something that I think, if I understand the Bible concerning the days and the age in which you and I live, Jesus warned that hostilities toward us will increase. Now that's not popular to say. That doesn't grow churches. That doesn't make things popular. But I got to tell you, with what we're looking at today and what he says to us, it challenges us as believers to the core. And so this morning, if you are here today visiting, and maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, please tune in. Because the message today is somewhat of one where I want to be teaching the body of Christ here, this church, that they might be equipped, but at the same time, I want to be speaking to those who don't believe in God. Maybe for those of you that are here today, you don't want to believe in God. I understand that. For those of you who don't believe in God or don't want to believe in God, I'm not here to condemn you, and I'm not even here to blame you, because many times people have chosen not to believe in God because what they've been shown of God is ridiculous. They don't want anything to do with God because they've judged God based upon the Christians that they've reviewed or watched in life. And let's be honest, there's some Christians who have been our worst enemies when it comes to advancing the cause of Christ. But please listen to the words of Christ this morning as we look to this message that it's more than a family feud. There's a lot more at stake regarding that. We open up our study as we left off last time, Luke 12, beginning at verse 49. Jesus is speaking. The letters there in your Bible are written in red. He said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Matthew's gospel, Matthew expounded it just a bit, same teaching. Matthew adds this, chapter 10, verse 37. That Jesus spoke and said to them, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Jesus said that in the same context. Oh, please listen carefully. Don't think for a moment that we are promoting that the gospel and Jesus Christ and Christianity is intended to divide a family. That that's its goal or its agenda. By no means. The exact opposite is true. The very gospel that goes out, the message that you and or I can come to Christ individually, personally, and be saved, it's a message that we all need to respond to, but not everyone responds to that. You know that, right? Would to God everyone would say yes to the gospel. That Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead for our sins, that we might have eternal life for all those who put their trust in him. How simple is that? And yet, when the gospel is presented to a family in a home, Jesus said it. There could be 5 people in one house. 3 against 2. 2 against 3. It causes division. The gospel that brings us eternal life, if received, if rejected, causes division. That's a painful thing. I was not born into a Christian home. I was born into a moral home. I was born into a patriotic home. I was born into a good home. My father provided. My mother loved us. We never went without. And we were taught respect. All the things that we needed to be a citizen of this America, of this planet, of this world, my mom and my dad gave. But we had no knowledge of the Bible. We had no Bible. We had no prayer. We had no concept of God. But I got to tell you, on Monday night, June 20th, 1977, I got saved. I heard the gospel and I responded. I went home and I told my family. And I thought that they were going to roll out the red carpet for Jesus. Man. The exact opposite happened. The exact opposite. I don't know if you've had that experience or not. But I got to tell you something. Jesus told us this would happen. And I want this message to be encouraging, but very practical. So first things first. It's more than a family feud when we talk about the Lord and heaven and the Bible and Jesus and God and the cross. Look what he said in verse 49 and 50. That there's really two worlds that are existing side by side. Keep that in mind. He said, "I came to send fire on the earth." You say, well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Oh, that's not what the context declares. It is the fact that the gospel brings a division. And he said, "How I wish that it were already kindled." You know, if we were to use that 49th verse in a modern day language, Jesus would say this, "I can't wait to get to the cross, to die for the sins of the world, and to be resurrected from the dead to get this show on the road. I wish that fire was already kindled because we needed to get going." He's not preaching hostility. He's not preaching violence. He's preaching the truth that the gospel needs to get out there and reel in as many men and women and boys and girls into the kingdom of God as possible, knowing all along that not everyone will say yes to the love of God. That's your choice. That's my choice. God has given us that choice, that sovereignty of choice. But he's done everything possible for you and I to know what it is to be loved by God and to have our sins forgiven and to know him personally. So the first thing that we realize when we come to Christ or when we consider Christ and in the context of Jesus' message, he's saying, listen, I wish it was already kindled. Why? Because my friends jotted down eternity is the issue that's at hand. Eternity's the issue. Regarding spiritual matters, it's all about eternity. Where will an individual spend the rest of their lives once they die in this world? And there are 1,000 doctrines out there. You can go pick and choose and make anything up that you want. But the Bible says eternity begins when you and I breathe our last breath here on this planet. Did you know that? The Bible says that we enter into eternity and there's no coming back. The Bible condemns reincarnation. The Bible condemns going to some other planet and trying it all over again until we get it right. Oh boy, how exciting is that? The Bible teaches resurrection. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 and John chapter 5 that there's a resurrection for the damned and a resurrection for the redeemed. There is eternal life for everyone. Read the Bible carefully. Everyone's going to live forever, some in heaven and some in hell. And you say, man, I don't like that. If you don't like that, then choose life. Amen. God's not saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you're coming with me and you're gonna go and fry and I don't know. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to eternal life. It's God's will and desire that you should be in heaven. Unfortunately, not everyone says yes, do they? That's so sad. Eternity is the issue at hand. He said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, the Bible there says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, that's of this earth. Listen, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. That's the reference to being born again. You and I all came into our families through mama. And we were born of blood into this world of the flesh, and we have our brothers or our sisters or our moms or our dads. And we are part of a family. But Jesus is saying that that is fantastic. I mean, you got to start that way, but the issue is to be born of God. Why? Because that's an eternal birth. It's something that happens, and the family that you enter into being born again, John chapter 3, is a family that you'll never be aborted out of. You'll never be rejected out of. God throws no one out. In fact, didn't Jesus say, all those who will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Some of you need to hear that right now. I don't know if God loves me. He loves you. The funny thing cracks me up, he even likes you. Go figure that one out. Nobody likes me. That's probably true, but God likes you. He said he'll never turn you away. Are you in the family of God? Eternity is the issue at hand. And over again, I think about what the context here demands that Jesus is speaking. When the gospel comes into a home, it's going to divide things up. I want you to jot down 7 things. I think they're important. They may not be important to you. I think they're important. 7 things. Number one, as a Christian, when you come together, you know, you're praying, Lord, show me who my wife or my husband's to be, and I'm praying, and you're waiting, you've devoted yourself to God, and all the while as you're looking up, you're looking around because you're wondering is she the one, is he the one, and that's fine and that's great. Sometimes I think we make it too difficult. Oh, I've had people actually ask me, Pastor, I think she's so beautiful, I think she's so cute, but I don't know if God would want me to have her. Is she a Christian? Yes. She serves here at the church. She's beautiful. She loves the Lord. She prays. She's wonderful. But what's the problem? She's so good looking. So what's the problem? She's just so pretty. What do you think? I think you ought to ask her out. I mean, think about it. This is ridiculous. When we were in the world, it was like, hey. And now we're Christians. I don't know. Why not? She's cute. Look, don't you think? I mean, she could be as ugly as sin, but God made her look cute in your eyes. That's part of the deal. Ask her out. Pray, take her out. See what God wants to do. And then you could, then listen, everything's wonderful. God's leading you. You get married and it's just the two of you. And in the old days in Israel, if you were married, you were exempt 1 year from war. Why? Because God wanted you to know your wife and to know your husband and to get to know one another and to build a foundation on the Lord. How wonderful is that? God, listen, God created the family. He created marriage. He created you and I. He wrote the textbook on the family manual. It's called the Bible. He wrote everything you and I need to do to have a healthy, beautiful, strong marriage. That's where it begins. And then after a while, you get tired of looking at just each other, and God begins to stir up your heart, and you say, let's have a kid. And then the next step, even before the baby's born, you know, you find out you're pregnant, so you're praying. You know, I remember when Lisa was pregnant with Rebecca, I used to put my hand over her tummy. Can you imagine? Can you hear me in there? We are praying for you. You can kind of thump on the tummy like a melon there. Hello. But we did that. We'd play classical music, pray. And all that begins to happen, and the babies are born, and the family is happening, and things begin to take place. And number one, you come together as a husband and wife. Number two, you begin to have a child or a family. And you think of number three, the family is growing, and that's all wonderful. The baby gets their first pop-up Bible book, you know, and the baby's first day at church. And all of these things, and you're telling all of the wonderful events of Noah and Jonah and all of these things from the Bible. You're talking about Jesus walking on the water and the baby's growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the way it ought to be. Everything's wonderful. And by the way, if you find yourself in that place today or coming to that place, husband, you pray for your wife every day. You say, Jack, she leaves 2 hours before I get up, or we don't see each other in the mornings. I call her up and pray. She leaves before I do. Run out there. Take her bagel and her coffee. Lay your hands on her car as it drives up the road. I don't care what you got to do. Pray for her. Seriously. And wife, call your husband. Pray for him. But men, we need to be covering over our wife, not with some heavy hand, but with an outstretched and uplift arm to pray for them. And then what about our kids? The kids growing up, as the family's growing, do the kids see or hear mom and dad praying? This is what God wants in a family. He didn't come to divide a family. But a family divides when someone either A, does not choose to walk with God anymore, they give up and quit, or an unbelieving family receives someone who is a believer now. Maybe mom or dad or son or daughter comes home and they've given their heart to Christ. It changes the whole dynamic of the home. And Jesus said when that happens, if there are those in that house who don't want to accept Christ because the Holy Spirit has moved into the life of that believer, there is going to be contention. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Man, do we know how that is. But I want you to stay true to God first. Do you love your family? Oh, yes, I do, Pastor. I don't want that division to come in my home. Listen, you got to choose today. Choose Christ or choose your family. I got news for you. Choose your family, lose it all. Choose Christ, you just might go about winning your family. Eternity is the issue at hand. Secondly, redemption is what's being offered. Redemption's the offer. The gospel, the Bible says you can be redeemed. Now watch this. You say, well, who can be redeemed? Each and every one of us personally must come to Jesus Christ. I can't give my heart to Christ and save my wife and my kids and my aunts and uncles and moms and dads automatically. Did you know that? They've got to come to faith in Christ. My salvation doesn't translate or cover over to anybody else. Jesus Christ is your personal savior. I heard a song the other day on a radio ad, on a radio program, and the guy was playing a song by Depeche Mode. That's a band. And the song said about personal Jesus on the song. And I thought, I don't know who these guys are, but they got that right. Jesus has got to be your personal Messiah, your savior. But listen, when he is your Messiah and savior, what should that do? How does that affect? Well, as life begins to continue on and get busy, watch this. Everything's been fine and everything's been centered around Christ. Your family's growing. All is wonderful. But then the little guy gets big enough to swing a bat or kick a soccer ball. And now we can't go to church on Sunday anymore. He's got soccer. Listen, happens every day. We can't go on Wednesdays. She's got gymnastics or whatever it is. Oh, we can't do that thing or the other thing because we got to do this. I am not condemning soccer or gymnastics or baseball. But when we begin to depart, you see, from having Christ first. We scratch our heads when our kid's 13 doing dope out behind the school and we wonder how that happened. They don't think about how important God must be. They forgot all that stuff when they were little. Because you know what? As they grow along, if we're not being faithful moms and dads and pointing them in the way of the Lord in a way that is right and healthy and beautiful, if we begin to send the message to our kids, you know what? You can go to church sometime. There was a recent poll done, and I heard it this week. I believe it was from Charles Stanley's ministry in Atlanta. The conclusion was people who go to church once a month are considered regular churchgoers. Once a month! Well, I'm going to start being a regular pastor. I don't golf, but maybe I should start. I'll see you next month. That's regular now in America? Oh, my goodness. And then you expect your kid to grow up with some sort of priority that God is first? You're wishing. You're dreaming. I can't believe my kid just got this girl pregnant. How'd that ever happen? When we do not present before our kids the fact that the Lord should be number one in everything. I know you don't want to hear this. I told you before this message was going to kind of hurt a little bit. Come on, honey, let's go. He talked about soccer. We're out of here. It's not just that. It's anything. Is God first? You put him first, he'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of all. Redemption. That you and I could experience redemption through Lord Jesus Christ. Your family, our moms, our dads, our sons, our daughters might hate us for this. Did you know that? Because watch this. Can you imagine? Let's pretend for a second. It's so politically incorrect to say things that are just pure truth. Because truth alienates. Have you caught on to that? You may know the truth, but you can't say it. You get in trouble for it. I suggest you say it anyway. But you want to think of this for a moment about redemption being offered. Can you imagine if somebody very famous, I don't care who it, pick somebody, they're just very famous. They can call a press conference. That's how famous they are. Could be the president. Could be somebody really big. Can you imagine? They got all their coaches and all of the, you know, they're going to review their speech and all that kind of stuff. And what are you going to say? What are you going to do? And you get up there and you say, "Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'll just take one moment of your time. I have come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I just want to tell you that I've been redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I've become a Christian. God bless you and good night." Can you imagine what tomorrow's papers would look like? The world will come apart. But when you come into a family, sometimes it's worse. We know people who, having come to Christ, can't let their families know that they're Christians because they're from the Middle East and they would be killed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called "It's More Than a Family Feud," a study taken from Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 through 53. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, because the fall semester is upon us, and we recently presented Pastor Jack's "Being a Christian While on Campus," we've decided to go ahead and continue offering that on DVD. And in fact, we've gotten quite the response, so we're extending the offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you the double DVD series, "Being a Christian While on Campus." More than one way to get in touch. Beginning with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.